Moncrief on News Talk.
As you may know, a large portion of the Russian attacks on Ukraine involve the use of drones, which have been having a devastating effect on parts of that country. And according to an investigation published today in the Irish Times, those drones contain components made by Irish-based companies, despite the fact that there is a ban. Conor Gallagher wrote the story. Good afternoon, Conor.
Afternoon, Sean.
Now, just for the sake of clarity, are these components manufactured in Ireland or just the companies who make them are based in Ireland?
For the most part, the drones are not manufactured in Ireland. So the two companies we're talking about are Irish-headquartered companies but have manufacturing plants around the world, although both employ significant numbers of people in Ireland. So I think we can safely say for the most part, the chips we're talking about are not manufactured physically here, no. Although they might have been designed here.
Right, okay. And the two components we're talking about are chips, as you mentioned, also a small antennae.
Yes, so we have the first company is called Tau Glass. It was founded in Enniscorthy, County Wexford in 2004, and it makes a large range of guidance equipment, including antennae used to pick up GPS signals. So these have been found in the guidance systems of these Russian drones, specifically the Garan 2 kamikaze drone, which is basically like a flying bomb, which has been used, launched at Russia in vast quantities. The other company is TE Connectivity. That's a worldwide electronics giant, which is based in, headquartered in Galway. It manufactures hundreds, if not thousands, of components, but two of the components are pressure sensors, which are also found in this Garan 2 drone. And these pressure sensors basically tell the drone how high it is. So in essence, is also part of the guidance system.
Yeah. Now, it should be said that you did reach out to both companies, and both companies said they are absolutely want nothing to do with the idea of exporting components to Russia.
That's right. So neither company is accused of any wrongdoing. And indeed, both say they go to great lengths to stop their components being imported into Russia, that they have various systems in place to vet customers. However, the components are still reaching Russia, and that's thanks to this kind of network of wholesalers and resellers and importers all around the world, but mostly in China and Taiwan, to a lesser extent, in Turkey and Iran. And so these would, these components would be bought and sold possibly several times before reaching a company who's willing to import it into Russia, or export it into Russia, sorry. And they will export it into Russia in sometimes huge amounts. We're talking tons and tons in just the course of 1 year. Some of those will eventually make their way into these Russian drones, or indeed other Russian military systems.
Yeah. Now, I assume some of these components themselves have been found in the remains of drones that landed in Ukraine, and that's how we know about it.
Yeah. So Russia launches. Sometimes they launch hundreds of these things at a time. And the idea is they overwhelm air defenses, so some are guaranteed to get through. And as you can imagine, sometimes they don't explode. And when that happens, Russia's intelligence will take them apart methodically and catalogue every piece in it and where it comes from. So we got hold of documents from Russian intelligence detailing
Ukrainian intelligence, I think you mean, Connor.
Oh, sorry, Ukrainian intelligence. Yeah. Detailing exactly what is in these drones. And we found that the vast majority of components, far more than originally known, comes from outside of Russia. So the majority comes from the US and China, but there's about 100 in there out of perhaps 500 or 600 in total that come from European countries, specifically 19 European companies.
Right. So it's not just Ireland that's involved in this.
So not at all. It's a worldwide problem.
So if a company, for instance, sells these components to a wholesaler in China, they've no way of knowing who the wholesaler will sell them on to.
Yeah, so they can put clauses in place in their contracts and they can refuse to sell to certain companies who they know do business with Russia. But that doesn't stop the person they're doing business with from doing business with someone else who might do business with someone else who does business with Russia. So it's a wicked problem It's one that's very, very hard to solve either by the manufacturers or by regulators. And that leaves the question, well, what can you do? And this is a real problem because we spoke to the Ukrainian presidential envoy on sanctions, and he said if it wasn't for Western components, they wouldn't be able to make these drones and they wouldn't be able to hammer Ukraine every night and take out its energy infrastructure and really erode Ukraine's will to fight and the morale of the citizens. Sanctions do work, he said. So what some in Ukraine want to see is sanctions, secondary sanctions, perhaps on China, or on Chinese companies to stop them importing this. But as we know, the EU depends on China for so much for trade. That would be effectively starting a trade war, and that's something they're probably not going to do.
Yeah. Do they? Is it known even the route of how many companies these components might go through before they arrive at a Russian port?
No. So we were only able to see basically the last company that sold this. So in the trade that we analysed, we were able to see a variety of, you know, several dozen Chinese, mostly companies, who were selling to Russian companies. So the trade data doesn't show us the route of the components before that. And it's made trickier as the components might form part of a larger component. So, for example, they're importing the engines for these drones. Now, a single engine could contain many, many different components from different countries. But in the trade data, we're only seeing basically one engine for a drone rather than all the individual components.
Yeah. And also, on the documents, when they're being imported into Russia, do the documents say what the intended use of these components is?
No, they will. The documents offer a brief description of the components. They might say these are antennas. They might say these are antennas for satellite phones. They might even say these are antennas, but not for military use, only for civilian use. But obviously that doesn't stop them being used for military use once they get into Russia. The trade data also details the weight of the components going in. And when you bear in mind that many of these components are absolutely tiny, like the one chip that we got hold of was weighs 9 grams, and in terms of Tau Glass antennae, there was 1.3 tons of components imported just in 2024. So if you do a bit of math, there's 4 antennae in each Garand 2 drone. That's enough for around 36,000 drones if every one of them went into one of these Garand 2 drones. And Russia launched 34,000 of these drones on Ukraine last year. So it's a year's worth of drones for Russia.
That's it. That's quite extraordinary. Yeah, because you do cite in your piece a St. Petersburg-based company, Grant Instruments. Do you know anything about them? Do they manufacture drones or do they sell on their components?
So they seem tools, but there's many companies in Russia who have been repurposed towards on a military footing since the start of the war. What we know about Grant Instruments and various other companies importing these components is that they have been sanctioned. They're either subject to EU or US or Ukrainian sanctions, or sometimes all three. And these are sanctions specifically designed to hamper the Russian war machine and to slow the development and manufacture of Russian weapon systems. So we can surmise from that at least officials in the West believe that this is a company connected to the Russian military industrial complex.
Yeah. You did mention there's a lot of US components there as well. Is the US strenuous about trying to prevent the traffic of these pieces into Russia?
Yeah, it has been. The FBI take the lead on that and have been trying to work with Ukrainian security authorities to crack down on it. Some of the components come from American technology giants such as Texas Instruments. But again, it's the same problem. They're not coming directly from the companies. They're being sold on multiple times, and way downstream, they're making their way into Russia. And sometimes these components might have been manufactured, you know, in terms of one of the Tau Glass components we were tracking. Tau Glass actually stopped making it in 2012. Now, you can still buy it online. So it's just, you know, these could be sitting in a warehouse for a decade before they're actually moved into Russia.
Indeed. God. Yeah, fiendishly complicated and fiendishly difficult to combat.
Indeed.
I would have thought. Connor, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Connor Gallagher there, the crime and security correspondent of the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.